It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, the peace train. That's what we'd rather have. You know, we're hearing the peace train coming around the bend, are we? Well, there's a lot we got to go through first. And I got an email today. Craig Cantoni is a columnist that writes for, or used to, I don't know if, you know, I don't read the Arizona Republic anymore, but in the Scottsdale edition, he's published regularly there, and he's written a book and so on. And matter of fact, I was one of the endorsers of the book on the back of the cover. The thing is, Craig Cantoni is a libertarian in an economic sense. I mean, you know, nobody's, you know, perfect. A lot of people are wanting to take, well, you know, a free market approach to fill in the blank, and if we were more this or more that. And I don't need to be advocating for the government to be more free market. I just want them out. You know, I'm really, you know, I don't see a proper role of government in really just about anything other than the defense of individual rights. I mean, that's the whole point. That's the promise. I don't want them to, you know, like Trafficant we had on yesterday. That was a fun show. If you guys didn't hear that, you know, we keep tweaking everything. It always messes up our iTunes feed or this or that. Anyway, so we got some complaints. Hey, where's the iTunes feed of that? And I go, it's up now. We got it fixed. Every time we do something here, over there, it's like trying to keep Jello in one thing with rubber band in one area with rubber bands, man. It's just, you know, it's just you squeeze one area, it just pops out somewhere else. So we're getting it all taken care of. But anyway, it's up. So what happened was you'll find that if you don't have a fundamental base, hardcore foundation philosophy, you know, you can kind of leak out a little bit in other areas. And Trafficant, you know, good guy. We had a really good time. We had fun. Tonight, he's at the Hometown Buffet at 6 o'clock, 6 to 9. It's going to go. And they're hoping to get $50 out of everybody, you know, pay for his trip and everything. He's here advocating for. He's at Hometown Buffet on South Scottsdale Road, just south of McDowell. Now, those in the valley know where that is. Now, what I always do is I'll go, you know, okay, my hand's on your shoulder. Whose life is this? Well, it's mine. And they always say that. I go, oh, I'll see. That means nobody gets to tell me. Well, you know, but there's always been the battle between the rights of the individual and the right of society to protect the individual. And I'm going, oh, see, you know, you're always going down the dark path, you know. Well, a good friend, Craig Cantoni, he was commenting, you know, give you his history. He's a professional, you know, he's got a couple of dimes rubbed against each other. He's doing okay. He and his wife live in North Scottsdale, and he writes. Well, he's definitely sees what's wrong with government, good and bad. And you'll see him on Freedom's Phoenix quite a bit. We just put up something he just wrote today. Wisconsin teachers to take over your transportation. He's kind of, you know, a little satirical, you know, sometimes and so on. What he's talking about is Wisconsin and Obama, and they're still spending money on all this light rail stuff while they got all these budget crises and everything, you know. So that's something to say. But the comment that he made to me this morning in an email exchange was, you know, minus all the personal stuff, it came down to this. Your efforts in Egypt, he goes, hey, man, you know, revolution and peace aren't necessarily go together any more than democracy and freedom does. I mean, they're not even in the same category. And I'm going, yeah, I understand. You know, that's never assume that, you know, my goal is revolution. You know, except between the ears. I mean, just a realization. Never assume that my goal is to, you know, topple governments or, you know, that's all side effect of something else. I seek to free as many individual minds as possible. Free them from what to what? How do you determine a mind's freed? Why would you even want to? You know, from what? My experience as a young man, I mean, I started this, a lot of the guys in this love illusion, these young, you know, teenagers and 20-something-year-olds and so on, you know, I don't remember me ever being anything but what I am now. You know, the way my mind works, how I perceive things. Now, your social graces get, you know, fine-tuned a little bit, and rough edges get rasped off with the experiences of life, but you're pretty much the perspective that you have on life, certainly since you hit puberty. I mean, you know, you're kind of locked in. And I want to tell you this story so you understand my perspective on this. And to finish up with Craig, what happened was, here, let me make a note so I don't forget where I was at. Popsicle stick. Popsicle stick. So I don't forget. Now, because I always forget, I go on tangents. Excuse me. Craig was like, he has a son that's homeschooled and so on. He's going to University of Arizona right now. Well, it's constant indoctrination, man. It the socialist dogma of. And his son really, when he finds an opportunity that it's a speech class or he needs to do a presentation on or something, he's given the Howard Roark speech in to the jury out of Fountainhead from Ayn Rand. You know, he definitely screw up his classmates there, you know, that's what it's all about. So he's wearing, you know, freedom-oriented anarchist Mises Rothbard shirts and stuff all the time. So he does his thing. So Craig was more interested. And he's like, Ernie, man, you know, University of Arizona needs some. Really? He's ready? How many thousands of DVDs does he want? How much printing does he want? How many T-shirts does he need? You tell me whatever he can get rid of, use of, and make, you know, boom, done, boom, done, boom, done. Waiting on you now, okay? Don't even start with me on that. You got somebody who wants to, you know, that's what we are for. But I have focused on America for the last 4 years, even longer before that. Outside of Arizona, it's been since the Lovelution. I got another email from another gentleman this morning. He goes, yeah, I know where you got the inspiration for the Lovelution. I went to Vegas, and they have the Revolution bar or a nightclub there. That's where they're doing Revolution Cirque du Soleil. Okay, so I've been to the Revolution Cirque Soleil. Friends of ours gave me and Donna front row seats. You know, I probably could have done better a little bit further back, but you know, but the thing was, man, it was, you know, it was a good time. You know, they do all their stuff to a lot of Beatles songs. So I knew of the, but this really came out after we started the Lovelution, and I don't know when they had it planned or something. When they started putting up the signs and all that kind of, people, hey, they're doing the backwards, you know, love in there too. Where I got the inspiration was from the internet. What a lot of people don't know is there was this concept of love in the Revolution since the Beatles did the song back in the, hell, the 70s. I've been seeing, I had that idea since 04, 05. It was 06 that we used the artwork for a campaign that I had run for Secretary of State in the 06 campaign. We had already test marketed it. So I have been doing this for a long time. Decades. What happened was is that we had an opportunity with Dr. Paul's campaign to inject. I always say this a lot, you know, when I give speeches, I'm going, it's the injection of the libertarian infection into the bone marrow of American culture for which there is no cure. Now we're going worldwide. Don't ever think this was not worldwide. Since the, you know, collectives of back in the day, pyramid days, man. Pharaohs, Genghis Khan, Alexander the Great. It's always been the attempt to take over the world. So the resistance is what? I'm going to talk about it when we come back. You guys stay right there.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Sounding louder, light on the peace train. Come on, the peace train.
Yeah, Sierra had to remind me, push the button, man. Push the button. Yeah, I got to get in the habit of pushing the button. You know, the one I really want to focus on, the reasons why we do this stuff, and certainly what motivates me personally. And a lot of times it's, you know, all of this is funded by the support of individuals. You know, it's a, you know, it's not all concentrated in, you know, just me or, you know, one other person or whatever. I mean, there's support. And the reason is because they are of the same mind as I am. And it doesn't take a lot. I mean, you know, we live very small. We get a lot done. It'd take gazillions and trillions of dollars for other people to do what we do because we motivate a lot of volunteers, put a lot of effort in. And Sierra's in there now. We're dismantling. We got the whole workshop is totally empty. Here, I'll go ahead and give you a shot here. We'll look down. And you'll just see empty, empty, empty. Can we get a shot of that from here? Yep, all empty. You know, it's just empty, empty, empty. And what we're doing is we're going ahead and having towards the end of the month is when we're done with the shop here. And so we got a week to get everything disassembled. And I'll talk to Ian over to LRN. I'd like to take some of my best shows and we'll consolidate them into reruns for next week so we can set up the studio and not have to worry about, you know, stress, man, because there's a lot of wires. But I have so many good shows that I'd love to, you know, play again for you. Yesterday, Traffic Ants one was a really good one. You know, just recently we had Sibel Edmonds. There's some old Karen Kwiatkowski I'd love to have. Lou Rockwell's. I mean, there's just, you know, especially as the news that's going on today, it puts a lot of things into context. You get an idea of what's going on. Well, let me, if I can explain myself, you'll understand why I take the actions that I do in the order that I do. When you have universities that are, I would say, we look 4 years ago, okay, this right now, 4 years ago, February of 07, we had just, right now, while we're dismantling this workshop and moving it, we were just putting together the first Ron Paul Revolution workshop. Nobody ever heard of Ron Paul. Nobody ever even saw the Revolution logo. Nobody had any concept of what was coming. We did. We knew what was going to happen. We knew that you go into an entirely new generation next, the youth, and you infect them with the concept of self-ownership. How that can be articulated by someone like Dr. Paul that knows exactly what's going on. Now, you know, there's everybody would have a better way. You know, like Traficant was saying, yeah, he needs to be more fire and doing this and everything. I go, yeah, but he didn't do 7 years in jail. Yeah. So everybody's got their balance. You know, he's head of some committee now. He's always wanted to be in there. We'll see what happens with that. Well, you know, he's got his own game plan. You know, I'm supporting, you know, power to the people. That's one beach I don't have to land on. He's got Congress take care. Heck, he raised a son's now senator. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to argue with that kind of success. I mean, we'll see what happens, you know, but, you know, the boy's got something going on. But it's not what I'm concerned with. What I'm concerned with is the revolution between the ears. The realization of an entire planet that comes up with, I remember reading something, it was an article about John Locke, and his concept of self-ownership, of being the sovereign, that you own yourself more than some king does, that was, you know, like the law of gravity. That was a principle, a fundamental base understanding that infected the minds of people, and decades later, the American Revolution, based on this concept. Without that understanding, without that concept, without Thomas Paine's common sense, which, you know, elaborated on it, without Jefferson's Declaration of Independence, which elaborated on that, without, you would not have what we got now. What do we have? We have a kernel. We have a remnant. We have a little bit of this understanding that I rule me. All the other stuff is just compliance. Comply or die. Okay. Bubblegum lights go off. Yep, you pull over. You respect my authority. Yep. Yes, and boss, you got the gun. You will do and comply and get and permit and license. And right up to the point that, I don't want it that bad. I'm not going to do that. I'll go do something else. The economy goes to crap, everything. You know, everything is a derivative of self-ownership, the understanding of this. And I don't care how altruistic you are, how communist you are, how zeitgeist you are. I mean, these guys, well, we'll just make it because people want it. We'll just make it because we can make it. And I go, you guys need to go read iPencil, man. How do you think that graphite, that dirty old whatever gets, mined and booted? Oh, because we just, people know and just want to. Okay. What do they need to understand? Fundamental philosophy, I own me. From that, everything else can be built on that foundation. Here in the United States, we were very successful in creating the concept of self-ownership and how that applies in so many different areas of your life with the Levolution. It gave them an ability to rally. It gave them the ability to communicate with each other. We have a lot of peer-to-peer, liberty, freedom-oriented individuals that are, making do. We have new technologies that are available. We have an enormous amount of investment that's paid off in people just being able to communicate these ideas and understand them themselves. I'm good. 2012 election cycle. How much Ernie do they need, his finger on the button? Because always I'm going, I'm tired for decades. I'm tired of having to keep the pressure on the button all the time here in Arizona. I always got to keep my finger on the button. You're always going to have to do something. You always have to, because we didn't have the internet. Because if it wasn't in front of the people, if there wasn't some, crazy Ernie action that we were doing to get media coverage, something that puts you on local television, something that gets an interview or whatever, something that puts you on the street, if you didn't constantly be tapping people on the forehead with a concept, they never got it in there to begin with. Because if they missed it the first time, or if they didn't have it reinforced, or if they, because they're under the deluge of propaganda from television. One of my favorite shows, Castle and House, all right? They're always injecting. Castle with the Nathan is the star of that. He plays an author that's embedded with a police homicide detective, and he writes books, and he's friends with the mayor kind of thing. Well, what happened, the guy that plays that was the Captain Mal on Serenity, Firefly, a series that I really liked and a lot of the people did too. So we kind of follow him over there. It's a good series. What are we on now? Ooh, it's a two-parter. Oh, a two-parter. We had the first part just like, radiation, cobalt 60, dirty bombs. Homeland Security guys come in, tell you, I'm like, here we go, man. It's indoctrination. So I'm just going, oh, man, can you get away from it? All right. So to throw a little bit, to Serenity, the movie, his daughter and mother are going to go to some thing. He wants to get them out of the city in case this happens. And it was a Camp Serenity. And I'm going, they're kind of throwing us a bone here, but is it good enough to keep these people that were so enthralled with this libertarian message that you're going to be part of this? I mean, come on, man. We'll see. Where are we going to focus our direction now? Do we have to put our thumb on the button for the 2012 election cycle, or is it on autopilot? Or did somebody take it? I don't know. We'll talk about it when we come back. You stay right there.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you. I've got to break free.
God knows. God knows I want to break free. And, everybody else I can tell. Now, this is, I want to finish this conversation so you understand why we're doing what we're doing. I am of the opinion that the generation next, of which I counted myself, in the late 80s when I first started doing this, I understood I was being lied to. I understood that I was lied to in all my youth indoctrination camp attendance where they were telling me blah, 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 blah. I got to look behind the curtain starting in 88. When I did, went to Washington, met with this, that, you know, I was pulling on a thread. I didn't really have a vest other than my father's kind. I didn't want to work for him, didn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, I should show you that. Sierra, can you find my white memory disc? You know, I think I had it around. I haven't seen it in a couple days. But I have on there a PDF of my father's product. You know, I keep talking about it. I never show you guys. Yeah, did you see it in here? Yeah, I probably got there. I'll go ahead and bring it out so you guys can see. Because I'm telling you, man, it was, you know, I think I know where it's at. I think I put it online. The reason I want to show you this is because it's what they keep screaming about, that we need to export. We need to be part of this collective. We got to, you know, America. MKer, man. It's easy to be distracted from what the proper role of a government is. To defend an individual's right to be able to labor and toil for their own benefit, not for somebody else's. They have to indoctrinate you into thinking that you need to work for somebody else. This is what Ayn Rand spent a lot of time on trying to convince people of, that, you know, this is a bad way to behave. She went to the universities, and do you think she went to the engineering or she went to literature? Or this? No. She went to the psychology departments. People who are going to be psychologists and psychiatrists and doctors. She went to the people of the mind. She's going, look, altruism, this concept that you labor for somebody else, and that you should, you have to, there's something wrong with you if you don't. And if you don't want to, there's something even bigger wrong with you. And that's where religion would come in a lot, too. And that's why the rebel Jesus, you know, saying, oh, no, man, hey, you know, it's all voluntary persuasion, you know, witness, parable, testimony, example. You don't go to Caesar and say, hey, man, make him be his brother's keeper. This whole concept, man, that went against, ooh, they didn't like that, none too much at all. So Ayn went to the concept of being able, yeah, I think I got it here. Ta-da, heck yeah. All right, I'll show you. Now, what this is for those that are on video, you can see this. You know, I loaded this up on to the website. It was called Alcan Traveler. And it was and you see his logo here, Eski Alcan. It was like an Eskimo that, you know, an investment in enjoyment, and it was a high-quality thing. Now, let's go to page two. You can see this trailer, it folded out into, had a kitchen in it, and it folded out into a changing room, and it had a bed, and it was really an amazing piece of equipment. In 1988, it was $3,500 for the camping model, and they had a cargo model and so on too. This was what got me started into this whole thing, trying to find out what it was that the government was really going to fulfill the promise that they've made to me my entire life. Business of America is business. Okay. Is it certain businesses? Is it certain, what it really is, the business of America is allowing you to do your own business, be left alone. So I'm going, okay, I'm starting to see what's going on. It was all controlled. It was all, I understood fascism. I had it explained to me at some point or read somewhere. Whenever you mix business and government to the point you can't tell the difference between the two, that is the definition of fascism. I saw it happen. I saw it happening on the Bus Trade Competitiveness Act of 88. I read it through. I saw it. I get it. You go to the television and you flip the channel, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, whatever, PBS, you know, blah, 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 blah. Same five stories, usually in the same order for 250 plus million people at the time. So I'm going, man, I know programming. You know, why do you think they call it television programming? It's people programming. Okay, all right, I get it. What's the truth? I just wanted to know the truth. As you would read history and you'd go in certain laws and everything, you would see that throughout human history, throughout time, it was always, now I had the benefit of reading the Bible straight through a couple of times when I was from 19 to 22. I had it there. I just, you know, read, you know, you got Mormon missionaries banging on your door all the time. All right, fine. I'll at least read, you know, this one and we'll see what's up. So I, you know, had a, you know, kind of an awakening from that. But the thing was, is I could see it was history. And it was wisdom. Is, you know, they're sending you off to whatever path they want to do. My friend Charles Goyette put it really good one time. He goes, you know why they did the Ten Commandments? You know, because people just didn't know any better. They needed 10. They probably could have used a couple more, you know. But, you know, the concept was is that, you know, we need to have some kind of a guide, you know, for us, you know, simple things. And it comes to self-ownership. I mean, things like, you know, thou shalt not murder. I mean, that'd be like bad. Thou shalt not, you know, take other people's stuff. Now, think about it. If you're Klingon culture, you know, a lot of the warring cultures back in the day, oh, of course you take other people's stuff. It's other people, other tribes. Now, you wouldn't do it. You know, there's honor among thieves. I mean, you know, we wouldn't do it from our own. But, you know, heck yeah, man. We go and, you know, and eat them. You know, get a nice little shrunken head on her belt. I mean, you know, whatever. It's a predator, alien versus predator stuff. I mean, this is their mindset. When you introduce the concept that all human beings, you know, are at least in the same, you know, intelligence level of sentience that you're going, yeah, you know, they have a right to at least defend themselves. Well, you know, it's not like I'm going to go, hey, you deliberately ducked as you try and lop their head off. You're not allowed. Oh, of course they are. Of course they own themselves. So once that concept is ingrained, where does it go? Ayn Rand's movie, Atlas Shrugged, or her book, Atlas Shrugged, is going to be made into a movie. It's released April 15th. I've been waiting for this for over 20 years. I first read it in 94. You know, I'm just, you know, so I guess it's been however long that is, 16, 17 years. And I go, oh, this ever gets made into a movie, man, it's going to be all over. Part one comes out. Depending on success, it'll be a 2 and 3. I'm sure it'll get done. Heck, they'll redo it like they did Hulk. They didn't like the first, you know, few times. You know, we'll redo it again, you know. So here comes Atlas Shrugged. And the whole concept, now Fountainhead was already done into a movie. You go look for the movie The Fountainhead. You know, that, you know, Gary Cooper did that one. You know, and he's not a slacker. So this was her mission was to infect the mind of the American public. That's why she went to Hollywood. That's why she worked with young minds that were studying the mind in universities and so on. That's why she had, you know, the Nathaniel Brandon Foundation, you know, one of her proteges, lovers, whatever. And he, you know, Nathaniel has spoken a couple times at her Freedom Summit. You know, we've become friends. He's still around. He still sends emails and so on, just recently, as a matter of fact. Now, the thing that I wanted to make sure that you understood is I am of the mind that the battle is in your mind. It's not out, you know, in the Wisconsin squares. It's not in, you know, Cairo. It's not anywhere else. It's wherever human beings are and have gathered for whatever reason in their mind. For the 2012 election cycle, what might Freedom's Phoenix and I and this show do to have the greatest impact on my freedom? My family, my grandkids. I don't care where I am in the world. Don't ever think I'm not, you know, selfish. It's all about me. It's all about me. But the only way I know to be free is to advocate for everybody else to be. That's the way it is.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Come, you masters of war. Here that build the big guns. Here that build the death planes. Here that build all the bombs. Here that hide behind walls. Here that hide behind discs. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks.
Masters of War. You know, this is why I do. I wanted to build up to it. Jack Gregson came by, our economist, columnist on Freedom's Phoenix, and he wanted to share something with me. He heard on Alex Jones' program, he had Lindsay Williams on, and they were talking about something he wanted to share. And Lindsay lives in Fountain Hills here. We've had on several times. We'll go ahead and get him on. He can give us firsthand, but I want Jack, before he had to leave, go ahead and share, and we'll talk. But I wanted to finish up on this. If throughout human history, you're able, using religion, some kind of dogma, a pope, you know, pulled Excalibur from a rock, you know, signs from the heavens, whatever it is, to give some kind of a justification for somebody else to tell you what to do, that is enormous power. And I remember the movie Apocalypto, Mel Gibson did, and it was all about the priests and the kings and so on in you know, the Aztecs, and they're, you know, slaughtering people and ripping out hearts and all this kind of stuff. And how the heck do they get away with this? People support because of their knowledge of the stars. All of a sudden, they're booga, 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 and the sun goes away. Eclipse, middle of the day. And then booga, 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 and it comes back. Guess what? You knew it was going to go away, and you made it come back. You the head SOB in charge, man. I'm like, woo-hoo-hoo, I've been alive for 30-something years. It rose, it set every freaking day. It never did. Man, you the man. Do you think that they shared with the peasants the knowledge of how and why and when and where the eclipses of the moon and sun were? Heck no. That's the power they had. Knowledge. What if you can inject at a time when the entire planet, in the Arabic world, I mean, they're going to do whatever. Don't ever think that they're just not marionettes on strings being pulled by somebody. When I get Anderson Cooper CNN's in Cairo, I'm going, CIA. Just, and I'm like, yeah, whatever it is, they got their fingers in this thing. You think they don't have, you know, the next heir apparent just sitting right there? Heck, the Egyptian military is a U.S. military. So I'm just going, which might as well be Israel. So I'm just going, wow, man, don't ever think that this is, but what's going to happen? That doesn't necessarily mean that you can control all the individual minds. Once this starts to, you know, it's like the Matrix. You know, you got billions of people all plugged in. There's always the one. There's always one. There's always somebody or something or small group or some concept or idea that penetrates the matrix. Self-ownership is always what's been extracted from this. It's always a promise, too. They have to make it a promise. We're here to protect your self-ownership. They have to make that promise or nobody would do it. That is why I spend so much time on that concept here in America. And now, as they're, you know, they got to replace all their despots every few decades. Well, it's time for a diaper change. Well, here they come. So what do? You translate philosophy of liberty into Arabic. That's what you do. And you have some fun. Jack, you know, help me out here. What was it you were listening to today that got you all worked up?
Okay. Alex Jones had Lindsey Williams on today, and I have a great deal of respect for Lindsey. He's been very accurate with the predictions that he's made, with information that he's gotten from oil insiders that he's dealt with for the past 35 to 40 years. And I have a tremendous respect for him, and today he came on, and he just really laid out what the New World Order plan is for the United States, for the Middle East, for the price of oil, for the price of food, and basically the families behind it all.
Okay, to what end? I mean, how are they going to do this?
Okay, basically he outlined the fact that, you know, you had the Bush family and people like Henry Kissinger, who convinced the Arab nations back in the 70s and early 80s to take U.S. Treasury bonds and exchange those for oils, because they knew that we were going to go into massive debt. When President Reagan took over in January 20th, 1980, we had less than $1 trillion worth of debt. Today, it's over $14.2 trillion. So they knew that they were going to run up the national debt, and they had to have a ready source of buyers. And they looked to the Arab world and to their oil. And they knew that they wanted to shut down American production of oil. So they shut off the Bakken fields up in North and South Dakota. And they also cut off Gull Island in Alaska. And they made sure that we could never access that oil until oil was $200 or $300 a barrel. And that's where they're getting ready to take it. They want to double-cross the Arab nations. They're basically running out all the dictators that America has put in place over the past 40 years. And in the process of doing that, they have a desire to double-cross the Arab nations to make their treasury bonds worthless so that the Arab nations and OPEC will cut us off. And oil will go up to $150, $200 a barrel, or possibly more.
Okay. If we are to, and nothing surprises me anymore. I mean, they'll do whatever they're going to do. And the one thing that really, you know, jerks their chain is when individuals just get off the grid, because they're always counting on you doing what they expect. You're going to keep buying their food. You're going to keep buying their energy. You're going to keep buying through their grid. You're going to keep, you know, what? All of a sudden we start going, yeah, we know that. So we're going to start bartering and, you know, stuff, labor, goodies, food, silver, and we're going to be self-sustaining. We get off the communication grid with ham radio or satellites, and we do our own gardening and food and got chickens. And then, you know, energy. You know, new technology is coming in. I do it in my backyard. So I'm going, yeah, they don't like that, because it doesn't play into their plan, which is what? I don't know. They keep getting more and get it from us, I guess. So now we have the Middle East. We have an enormous debt. We got the Chinese and the Arabs and everybody to buy our treasury bills so we can keep, you know, just spending. Then we're going to go, you know, about time to renege. Well, if we default on this, who gets screwed? Well, all the people that got it, because part of the part the deal was the petrodollar. Iran, you want to sell your oil? Guess what? It's going to be in dollars. Oh, and by the way, you're going to put it in this bank. And oh, guess what? The Ayatollah took over. We seized it. It's not your anymore. It's ours. So I'm going, you know, it's just this game that they play. Well, don't think that they don't know it. China knows. So what are they doing? How much gold can I buy? India, how much gold can we buy? Japan, we don't have any money. So the Arab states, as they are being distracted, and they got revolution, man, it's a brewing. Okay. If they default on their U.S. treasuries to them, they have everything in dollars and it goes to crap. They have oil goes to gazillions, and I don't know how much they're going to be able to sell and so on. I would think that these Arab countries, they would teeter on disaster, because their entire infrastructure is dependent on the petrodollar in the world market for oil. And you're saying that once the U.S. sees a big giant, we can make all kinds of money, it's time for us to start doing production, and we say adios to the Middle East.
Right. That's their basic plan. They probably want to have somebody that's has some experience in the oil industry, somebody like Rick Perry, somebody's from an oil state, to become the next president. Because at that point, the public's mind will be fixed on the fact that we need to increase production, because the OPEC is not going to be able to supply our needs anymore, because we have basically stabbed them in the back. So
it seems like it's part of Obama's thing to just stop all coal production.
Yeah. I mean, they,
because we got enough coal. If it was coal, you know, we get down to business, coal, man. We got plenty of energy. We got coal coming out our rear.
Right, we have several hundred years worth of coal.
But they say, nope, not allowed to have any coal. We got to do oil, and it's got to be this way for our boys.
Right.
And then here comes Pickens, you know? Yep, and I got the natural gas. It's all mine, man. We're so being so screwed and manipulated. What's the solution? It's all about up here, the concept of self-ownership. Does your government allow me to take care of myself, to freely negotiate and barter and trade with another human being voluntarily? That, you know, once you get down to this fundamental understanding, it trumps everything at the foundation. Like the movie Inception, you plant it deep enough in someone's mind, it changes every decision that they make from then on. It's how we roll. And it's because we understand the enemy that we're up against. The battle's up here, between the ears. We'll be right back with one more segment of Jack Gregson before he has to leave here on Declare Your Independence. In just a little bit. You guys stay right there. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of freedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readers of freedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.